Welcome back to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. Here's your host, Brother Robert Johnson.
Welcome back. This is episode number 403. I have a great show for you this week. Pre-recording this one so that it comes out on Sunday. I'll be on the airplane coming home from the South Pasadena Masonic Lodge's Masonic Con. As usual, I'm going to go ahead and go out on a limb and say it was probably amazing. I'll have a better report for you on Masonic Con in a couple weeks, probably not the episode 404 either. I'm going out of town on a family vacation, but if I can give you some details, I'll definitely do that. But I'm probably going to pre-record a couple episodes so that we can get these things up and ready, and I don't have to scramble to get them done in the small interim time between me coming back from Masonic Con and going on vacation with my family. So, generically, but with all of the feeling and real care, because I know it went amazing, I'm going to thank Brother Dago for all of his amazing work putting this thing together, as well as his entire team of people who assisted in putting this on. If you haven't been checking out the Midnight Freemasons blog, I urge you to go over there and check that out. Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, we have new posts. Todd Creason has been posting almost every Friday throughout this summer so far, and he's been putting out some great pieces. So I really encourage you to check that out. Eric Marks has had some fantastic pieces on inner work. Rob Jackson's had some great stuff as well. Steve Harrison just did one on 10 Rubies that was fantastic on DeMolay, Frank Land, etc. So, again, check out the midnightfreemasons.org or .com, whichever you'd like. This week, it's all about Baphomet. That's right, the weird goat, Satan creature thing. We're going to talk about that. Why? Because it gets so much play. It gets so much publicity. The Church of Satan uses its iconography. It's got this negative connotation coming from the Leo Taxol hoax. And just about every single conspiracy theory out there shows, you know, the Baphomet as this icon for the Illuminati, ipso facto, Freemasonry. So, what is the Baphomet? If you don't know what the word is, I'm sure you've seen that iconography that's the half-goat, half-man who has breasts, and he has usually giving the one finger down, one up pose, as above, still below. He's got horns. This is the symbol of many different organizations, actually, but today the Church of Satan uses it. Now, it's also probably appropriate to at least mention the fact that the Church of Satan is not an actual church. They're actually just a political action group that is comprised mostly of atheists who practice no Satanism at all, actually. There's no devil worship or anything, which is the troll thing that they do, I guess. But in any case, they have made the icon more in the public eye. And again, if you follow conspiracy theories on the web, you're going to see this everywhere. So I pulled a couple articles on this. We'll talk about it a little bit this week. We'll have a little bit more next week. And we'll make sure we link everything so that you guys can check out the original sources for the articles that we're going to read. We'll go ahead and get right into all of that right after this. Now comes the point in the show where I ask you to help support this show. How do we do that? Well, we have a bunch of different ways to do that today. If you head on over to WCYpodcast.com, you can click on direct donation through PayPal, which we briefly touched on in the beginning of the program. Of course, you can make that one-time donation, or you can sign up to be a monthly contributor. Contributing $2 a month, $5, or even $10 a month, whatever you choose, really helps the program out. Of course, we have a limited edition shop where you can pick up any number of items that come direct from us. Help us out by going to MasonicRevival.com, but also we have some other affiliates that are really important. Banker's Best, one of the most unique things we've ever done, is to work with Brother Levi Banker out of St. Louis, who owns his own company called Banker's Best Beard and Skin Care. He's been so generous. If you head to WCYpodcast.com, click on More, then click on Banker's Best, and you can check out a bunch of the different products he's got. He's got a whole line of beard care products, skin care, oils, balms, all of this stuff, and he has been doing it a long time. He knows a lot about it. Everything is handmade, quality items. We even came up with the King Solomon's Reserve Beard Balm, which is a few years old now, but remains one of the great products that he still offers. Even the artwork on the bottle was done by a brother. The nice thing about this particular product is 50% of the proceeds come back to the program. If you're a history guy like me, then you'll be pleased to know that what makes the beard oil and balm very special is that it was made utilizing the fragrances specific to the exports of King Solomon's time and location, which is amazing. So black fig and honey is the formula. Luxurious scent, as Levi says, truly fit for our first Grand Master. If you use the promo code BBWCY357 at checkout, you'll also get a little bit of a percentage off. Please check that out. Banker's Best, or just head on over to buybankersbest.com. We also have a code with On It. You can go to our website, click on More, then go to On It, and you can click through any of the links here, or just go to onit.com and use the promo code WCY at checkout. You'll get 10% off, and they'll send a little bit back to the program to help us out. And of course, it's business time. The book that I wrote with John T. Ruart, it is making some real waves, and people are using it and seeing success. So check that out on Amazon. You can click right to it. You can get it on Audible, Kindle, or in print, even on iBooks. And last but not least, I want to ask you to check out the Great Books program. You'll see the banner for it on the left-hand side, Intellectual Linear Progression. Use the promo code WCY, or you can just click on that link there, and you'll actually go right to the website and hear a little bit from Scott Hambrick about how awesome the program is. So that's it. I hope you guys enjoy, and thank you so much for helping us out. All right, and as you know, in addition to this, if you head on over to WCYpodcast.com, click on More, click on Franklin's Fortune, use promo code WCY at checkout. You'll get $5 off your order for the coolest card game that you've ever played. The card game that you'll play that has the highest personal value to you. You're not going to learn any personal values playing Phase 10 or Uno, but you will in this game, and it's really a lot of fun. What seems complicated turns into a scheme of moves that you'll love destroying your opponents at, but at the same time, you're not really destroying them. You're just succeeding in life better than they are in the game. So check it out. It's really cool. It's a lot of fun. Franklin's Fortunes, promo code WCY. Also, they're wrapping up the week for enrollment in the Great Books program. If you haven't checked that out, and you're serious about intellectual prowess, do you want to be smarter? Do you want to understand contextual meanings, etc., etc., when you're reading? Then you got to check out the Intellectual Linear Progression, the great program started by Scott Hambrick. Use the promo code WCY again. You'll make out like a bandit if you use that. So maybe you heard a sound earlier in the program. What was that? I don't know. But if you can identify it and you email me the name or identify that sound in the email, I have something for you. The first person to correctly name what that sound is, where it is from, will get a Solomon's Pass for Camp Masonry. This is the granddaddy of Camp Masonry passes. It's 5 of the scheduled meals, an exclusive Solomon's Pass t-shirt, a 2019 Camp Masonry pin and lanyard, a silicon wristband keepsake, and all-you-can-drink cold water and soda weekend pass. It's guaranteed seating at the Saturday festive board, Thursday early bird arrival, chalk level booster status, and access to all the guest speakers, vendors, and activities. Now, you get all of that simply by answering my one question. Where did that sound originate? What's it from, and what is it? Okay, so I want you to email me. The first person to do that correctly will win this pass. Now, if you want to buy this pass on your own, it's $100. It's a $100 pass, so we're going to give it away. We're going to give away the pass for the person who guesses the correct name of the sound and where they heard it. If you didn't hear it, maybe you need to go back and check it out. Now, a couple stipulations. Number one, this ticket is not redeemable for cash. And number two, the member who wins has to be a member in good standing of a lodge that is recognized by the Grand Lodge of Ohio, FNAM. So if you're not sure, you can ask your lodge secretary, or you can email me anyway, and I'll check my list of lodges and tell you yay or nay. But those are it. Okay, if you win and you want to transfer it to somebody or gift it to somebody who can make it, that is also possible. But I need to know ASAP, because they need to finalize everything. So once more, guess the name of the sound, what it is, and where it comes from. Send me an email at wcypodcast.com. First person to get it correct wins. You must be a recognized Freemason in the Grand Lodge of Ohio. Why? Because this is tiled and put on by the Grand Lodge of Ohio, so we must adhere to their rules. Again, you get all of that stuff for free. You just have to get to Camp Masonry. That's it. You get there, and everything else is free. Okay, so you're going to save at least $100 by going. And again, not redeemable for cash, but is transferable. So let's play a game. You guys shoot me some answers, and we're going to pick a winner. We'll announce them as soon as we know who it is on the very next episode that we have the answer back. And we'll let the organizers of Camp Masonry know, and we'll get you all squared away. So best of luck to everybody out there. Super exciting. You know you want in. Where is Camp Masonry? I should probably mention that also. Camp Masonry is going to be in Toledo, Ohio. At camp, if you want to know more about it, visit campmasonry.com. It's super important that you check that out. August 8th, 9th, 10th, and 11th is the weekend that they're doing this. So check it out. All right, I said that this week was going to be about Baphomet. So let's start with a little history here that's going to come from the Scottish Rite Masonic Museum and Library that comes from the nationalheritagemuseum.typedad.com. Or typepad.com. Scottish Rite Masonic Museum and Library, the official blog about the collections, exhibitions, and programs of the Scottish Rite Masonic Museum and Library. This comes from a post of October 6, 2009. Many people find the image on this poster a little creepy. It's supposed to be. It's even more startling when you see it in person. It's about 4 feet by 3 feet, and it's the first thing you see when you walk into the reading room for the Library and Archives' new exhibition, Freemasonry Unmasked, Anti-Masonic Collections in the Van Gordon Williams Library and Archives. The arresting goat-headed image on this poster is Baphomet, an invitation by Eliphas Levi, 1810 to 1875, for his 1856 book, Dogma and Ritual of High Magic. Anti-Catholic writer Leo Taxil later incorporated Levi's Baphomet figure into his elaborate hoax, which falsely linked Freemasonry with devil worship. Taxil, whose real name was Gabriel Antoine Jugon Paget, sought to publicly embarrass the Catholic Church, which was traditionally opposed to Freemasonry, by winning their sympathy through his anti-Masonic hoax and then revealing it all to be an outlandish lie. Although shown here wearing a Masonic apron, Baphomet has no association with Freemasonry. The poster was printed by Edward Ancourt and Company, a Parisian firm that today is well known for having printed many of Henri Toulouse-Lautrec's posters. The poster is an advertisement for the anti-Masonic book written by Leo Taxil entitled The Mysteries of Freemasonry Unveiled. The French text at the top of the poster translates to, at all the bookstores and newspaper shops. The text below the image indicates that the book was sold in parts, a common way of publishing books in the late 19th century. As a lure to get the book buyers to purchase the book, the publishers indicate that the first part is free. The French word for free is hard to miss. Baphomet has proven an irresistible image to anti-Masons ever since Taxil first falsely associated the figure with Freemasonry. As recently as the 1990s, Jack T. Chick used the image on one of his Chick tracts called The Curse of Baphomet, pictured here. In this booklet, Chick uses a quote that has been falsely attributed to well-known Freemason Albert Pike, 1809 to 1891, that quote-unquote Lucifer is God. Leo Taxil made the quote up in the 1890s, Taxol's fabricated Pike quote has been repeated many times in print, and a quick web search reveals that this fabricated quote has made the leap from books to websites. If you're interested in learning more about anti-masonry, be sure to check out the annotated bibliography available at our website. One book that appears on the bibliography, Is It True What They Say About Freemasonry? The Methods of Anti-Masons, is available in its entirety online. The author S. Brent Morris and Arturo de Hoyos do an excellent job of exploring the source of many anti-Masonic claims, including both the fabricated Albert Pike quote and Baphomet. So that was the first just little short piece here on the Baphomet. The image that they talk about, of course, is the image that is featured on our YouTube video as well as in the artwork for this episode. So if you're curious of what we were talking about, that is it. A link back to this website or this particular article will be in the show notes. Now, the next part is straight from one of my favorite websites, the Grand Lodge of British Columbia and Yukon. And this is called Myth of the Baphomet. So it starts with the definition. Baphomet. A form of the name of Muhammad used by medieval writers. B. Alleged name of the idol which the Templars were accused of worshipping, according to the Ob Constant quoted by Luther. This word was Kabbalistically formed by writing backward Tem, O-H-P-A-B, an abbreviation of Templi Hominum, Hominem, Passus Abbas, Abbot, or Father of the Temple, or Peace of All Men, hence Baphomet. Oxford English Dictionary, Oxford, Oxford University Press, 1984, 23rd printing, page 659. The Baphomet is not a Masonic symbol, nor is it worshipped by Freemasons. It has no traditional relation to the pentagram, nor the Goat of Mendes, nor Pan, nor the Green Man. The name seems to have first appeared in the 12th century France, and its image first appeared in 1855. Then Antoine Sansor Lavey and his atheistic Church of Satan adopted it in 1966. But it all starts with the Roman Catholic Inquisition and the Knights Templar. Established in 1118 by Hugh de Pion and André Montbard, the Knight Templar from September 13, 1128, properly styled Paparis Comalitis Christi et Templi Salomonis, are forever linked to the history of the Baphomet. But of 231 knights examined by the Pope's commissioners in Paris, only 12 admitted under torture to knowing anything about the icon, as against 183 who confessed that they renounced Christ and 180 who confessed to defiling the cross in various ways. The term's identification with Muhammad appears to be derived from its usage in Provence. This has been the center of the Cathar Church in France until the Albigensian Crusade of 1209 to 1229 killed its protectors, and the nascent Inquisition killed or silenced any survivors. Montague Summers suggested, without proof, that the name was a combination of two Greek words, Bapha and Metis, and meant absorption into wisdom. It should be noted that the term Baphomet is not to be found in King Philip's grounds for arrest issued on September 14, 1307. The 127 articles of accusation drawn up on August 12, 1308, nor in any of the papal bulls issued by Pope Clement V. The articles of accusation refer to the adoration of idols, a cat or head, sometimes having three faces. The descriptions revealed during the trials varied but generally were of a head with one face or two faces, sometimes bearded and sometimes not, made of silver or wood, a picture of a man or of a woman, an embalmed head that glowed in the dark, or a demon. The trials say little of the actual head, but there are some textual accounts of it. Guillaume de Arblay, who was the preceptor of the Templar house at Soissy in the Diocese of Meaux, testified on October 22, 1307 that he had seen the bearded head twice, which he claimed was gilded and made of silver and wood. Although modern writers will occasionally refer to the Templars' use of the pentagram or five-pointed star, they fail to provide examples. The seal of masters generally depicted crosses, castles, fish, lambs, lions, and the like. The plans of their castles and strongholds in Europe, those few they constructed, were dependent on topography and sight lines, not sacred geometry. What does this have to do with Freemasonry, or more particularly, anti-Masonry? The presumed link is the pentagram. Over 600 years after the suppression of the Knights Templar, one Eliphas Levi took it upon himself to determine the value of the pentagram and equate it with the Baphomet. He termed the Baphomet the Goat of Mendes, confusing it with the Benjedet, an ancient Egyptian ram god, and included a fanciful illustration of it as a frontpiece to his Doctrine and Ritual of High Magic in 1861. Although his frontispiece illustration depicts a one-point-up pentagram, he is also credited with being the first to arbitrate that the one-point-down image represents the Baphomet. No known graphical illustration associating the pentagram with evil appears before this. Michael Howard claims that Levi based the illustration on a gargoyle that appears on a building owned by the Templars, the commandery of Saint Brie Le Vignon. The Catholic Inquisition of the early 1300s does not appear to have made a connection between the Templars' alleged worship of the Baphomet and the pentagram. Goldberg's Sacred Fire, the story of sex in religion, depicts an image that could act as a link between the Templars and Levi, but there is no mention in the text, and no sources cited. The next similar depiction appears in 1894 when the self-confessed fraud Leo Taxil incorporated a similar figure into his attacks on Freemasonry. These three images and subsequent imitations constitute the complete catalog of images purporting to represent the Baphomet. They have no historical precedent, they have no existence other than in the imaginations of their authors, and the point cannot be made too strongly. They have nothing to do with Freemasonry. It is a literal and historical curiosity that Masonic author Albert Pike quoted extensively and apparently uncritically from the writings of Eliphas Levi. He writes, quote, "Hieroglyphically, to express this law of prudence, they gave their Mercury, personified in Egypt as Hermanubis, a dog's head, and to their sulfur, represented by the Baphomet of the temple, that goat's head, which brought into such disrepute the occult medieval associations," end quote. Quote, "The Gnostics held that it composed the igneous body of the Holy Spirit, and it was adored in the secret rites of the Sabbath or the temple under the hieroglyphic figure of Baphomet or the hermaphroditic goat of Mendes." It is clear that Pike's authority was Levi, who had no authority. Placing the image of a goat face inside a five-point star appears to be the inspiration of Paul Jaggett. In his Science Occulte et Magie Pratique, Paris Editions, Druin, 1924, page 172, it incorporated an open star, not a pentagram, and Jaggett provided no citation. The image next appeared in the Handbook of Magic and Witchcraft by Charles W. Oliver, London, Ryder and Company, 1928, page 47. As reproduced at the top left of the webpage, the head is now contained in the pentagram, with the addition of the words Samael and Lilith. Oliver also failed to provide a citation. In 1931, Oswald Wirth included the goat head and pentagram in his book, another French-titled Masonic text, which is on page 60. Again, the image was uncited. Maurice Bessie provided an illustration of the goat head and pentagram inside two circles with the word Leviathan written above the lines in Hebrew in his A Pictorial History of Magic and the Supernatural, London, 1964, page 198. He also provided no source. Only in the latter 20th century, with the creation of the American Church of Satan, did the inverted pentagram, with or without the goat head, become a popular symbol for Satan. Their source appears to be Oswald Wirth and Maurice Bessie, neither of whom identified it with the Baphomet. So that is the bit on the Baphomet. Now, I guess I'll give you just a little bit of commentary on some of these paragraphs. So the Baphomet, what I've studied about it, right, we've talked about the pentagram in the past. Point down is evil, point up is angelic or positive. But again, this is sourceless. I have heard all of the cases of the Knights Templar and perhaps the head of John the Baptist as the Baphomet head. What's interesting to me is the depiction. It's almost an amalgamation of too many things. The original image by Eliphas Levi, it's got the pentagram, which is interesting in itself as the idea of 5 times 72 angles, the 360 degrees forms the circle. It's an allusion to deity and the five-pointed stars, perhaps the human, right? And so it's this idea of the human is the divinity within the deity, or the deity is the human. But also this as above, so below, he has both a breast and not a breast, so this is a toss back to the rebus, or the idea of rebus. It has the sun and the moon. It's really just an image of duality. And the goat, perhaps, you know, the goat king, he's got the crown. I think it's just kind of this idea of there has to be something capturing. There has to be some idea of striking imagery that will make the uninitiated angry and the initiated not angry. And it's a force of separation between peoples, the illuminated and not the illuminated, right? When they talk about where the image has appeared from Charles W. Oliver, in the Handbook of Magic and Witchcraft, when it says Samael and Lilith. So Lilith is the first woman who comes before Eve, but she's too headstrong, she's too equal to man, and apparently goes off on her own, and God creates Eve, a more subservient version for man, and Lilith becomes evil or something. And Samael is the fallen one, so perhaps this is an allusion to, you know, the Baphomet is the union between Lilith and Samael. The Samael is the, if you look at Samael in the good sense, he's the person who wants humans to do well, and Lilith wants to be equal, so there are these kind of elevated higher ideals, but seen largely as the negative, right, because it goes against the canonized what God wants. And then you move down into some of these other passages, like where Maurice Bessie provides this illustration, and the word Leviathan appears, which is really curious. I've read a few books where that word is tossed around, including one that has allusions to Atlantean mythology. So very curious indeed. And then when we know that in the 60s, the Church of Satan picks it up and turns it into its whole thing, right? It's a case of a almost not cultural approbation, but symbolic approbation. And it's almost turned this thing into something you cannot enjoy anymore. You can't enjoy some symbols, even if they meant something great in the past, because they have negative connotations associated with them today. My favorite sweatshirt is a hoodie that's called Kaufhamet that I got from Alter Ego, Ascended Masters, right? And my mom is like, that's satanic. And I said, no, actually, it's not. But I also don't have the patience to sit down and give a history lesson. But it is pretty interesting, pretty funny stuff. But it's not funny when somebody doesn't know about it, and then you're just out there, I guess, starting trouble. Just a bit on the myth of the Baphomet. Next week, we're going to talk a little bit more about the Baphomet. I think we're going to finish it up maybe with another article. If I've got time and I find something extraordinarily cool, then we'll add that into next week's episode on the Baphomet also. But as of right now, I have the next article already picked out, and the next episode is written. So we just have to get it together and record it and master it all up for you guys so you can have it next Sunday when I'm probably driving home from camping. That's it for this week. Remember, what was that sound? I hope you guys listened. Email me, wcypodcast@gmail.com. First person who guesses correctly gets the Solomon's Pass for Camp Masonry this August, just in a few short weeks. I know it's not a lot of time, but guess what? This is the perfect time to buy plane tickets. They're the cheapest, right before the event. A couple weeks out, that's when they're going to be a really great price. Clear your cookies off your computer, then do a search. You'll find some great prices. Again, it's for the event only. They're not paying for your airfare or anything like that. You have to get there, but you're going to love it. I promise. I'll be there. Brother Jason Richards from the Masonic Roundtable will be there. Mike Hambrick will be there. Chris Maddie's going to be there. Jason Shammy. Plus everybody on the website that you've already read about. It's going to be killer. Please check it out. And best of luck to you. Maybe there's some people who already sent in the answer and you haven't even gotten to the end of this program. If you're the guy who already sent it in, oh boy, I hope you're right, and I wish you the best. So I'll announce winners very soon, probably on our Instagram and Facebook and Twitter. So it'll probably just go out in that order. Boom, 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 and that's it. Again, thanks so much for listening to this program. Thank you for everything and all of your best wishes about having these 400 episodes. I still can't believe it. We're at 403. It's just crazy, guys. I really appreciate it being the person who's able to bring you Masonic education week after week. Until next week, stay on the level. For Whence Came You, I'm Robert Johnson. Take care.
You've been listening to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry with your host, Brother Robert Johnson. Be sure to join us for our next edition.